You're about to hear an incredible interview between 25-year real estate investing veteran Mike Collins and the king of real estate wholesaling, Preston Ely. Preston made a name for himself 5 years ago by wholesaling over $500,000 of real estate in his first year as a real estate investor in his home market of Tampa, Florida. He's gone on to educate and mentor over 50,000 real estate investors in the United States, Canada, and around the globe. His courses on wholesaling, probate real estate, and REO investing have become bestsellers both online and at live seminars across the country. And for now, enjoy the following interview, Flipping Without Fear.
Excellent. Well, first of all, let me just tell you guys, I hope everybody knows the caliber of person you're dealing with Mike Collins here. I mean, I've heard him coined the father of wholesaling. He's literally been doing this for 25 years. Since the whole concept of flipping a house, flipping a contract, whatever, came into existence. So, you know, there's several other people with similar goals to what he just mentioned to you, educating people, so on and so forth, but nowhere are you going to find anybody with the experience that that Mike has. So, all right, let's go ahead and get started. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax. Mike said, buckle in, enjoy the show. Don't forget to tip your bartenders on the way out, and actually do make sure and have a pen and paper handy. I don't have that much time. My goal really is to just honestly just do as much good for you as I can in this hour or so that I have. There's only so much I can do, but I'm going to be giving you some quality stuff here that's going to be very important. And just as a side note, pen and paper, you know, quick rule of thumb, you don't ever want to show up in the presence of hyper-evolved superhumans such as Mikey Collins without pen and paper in hand, okay? I'm just kidding. Do not take me too seriously, except for everything else I have to say for the rest of this hour. That's actually going to be pretty serious. I am going to drop some real estate science in your minds right now. But before I do, listen to this. If you were to take 100 people at the start of their working careers, okay, and they work for their 40 years until retirement, here's what you're going to find, and this is according to the Social Security Administration, commonly known fact. One will be wealthy, four will be financially secure, five will continue to work, not because they want to, but because they have to, 36 are going to be dead. Just as a side note, if you'd like to prolong your life and be healthy, eat a lot of greens. I recommend this supplement called Green Vibrance. I haven't been sick in 2 years. 54 will be dead broke, totally dependent on meager Social Security checks, relatives, friends, and even charity for minimum standard of living. That's 5% successful and 95% unsuccessful. That's scientific fact there for you. And so my question for you tonight is, which one are you, what group do you fall in, and which group would you like to be? I would submit to you tonight that the main reason that people are not in that 5% is because of fear. And I'd like to address that, and I'm going to address fear in general, but then specifically fear as it applies to real estate and how my system for wholesaling houses totally destroys the whole concept of fear. There is no fear doing what I do. And, you know, I'll just share this with you. The burden of my heart, my ultimate purpose in life is to help other people become financially free, okay? I was raised by meager, you know, a meager upbringing. You know, I have great family, great parents, but financial stuff was just not their forte. Thankfully, now it seems to be there. They've turned it all around, and that's great. But you know, always living week to week, and I saw the damage that did to my family. I have experienced the anxiety and the stress that it's created in me. It took me a very long time to break that cycle of living week to week, but I finally did it. And you know, now I'm to the point where if I see somebody that's hurting, that's in financial need, it hurts me so bad physically inside that I want to help them. And you know, all this information that I'm going to give you tonight is free. Most speakers will pad free stuff like this with, you know, just, you know, some fluff. I'm going to give you practical things that you can use right away. And, you know, as proof of the sincerity of my message, you know, I help people out for free all the time. If I hear anybody that's going through something, I immediately want to help them, show them the next step, what they can do. I've achieved a great measure of financial freedom. I work when I want. I do what I want. I wear what I want. Nobody tells me what to do. If I have any difficult customers, I just dismiss them. I give them their money back. I don't need their money. My life is totally stress-free to a certain degree. And I'd like to see that for you guys as well. So in this quest to, you know, so this is my what plagues me every day is how I see where people are at. I get emails every day, Preston, I've tried this system, I bought his package, I went to his seminar, nothing's working. And, you know, and what I'm constantly plagued with is how can I help these people? What is it that's keeping them from getting over that hump? And a lot of times I just know it. There's a cross to bear at the top of that hump to get on the other side. And it's very painful. And you're going to have to suffer to get there. I had to suffer to get where I am. My willingness to suffer was a big, played a big part in why I got here. I was willing to pay my dues. And so the first thing I'll submit to you tonight, you need to be willing to pay your dues. Just make your mind up right up front that any worthy endeavor in life is going to be difficult. It's just, you got to pay the price. So I come across a good friend of mine, Heather Seif. I just did a big teleconference with her and all her folks. And I came across one of her websites, one of her many websites, and it said the biggest, I think I actually have it written down here, the biggest thing that holds people back from making a lot of money in real estate is fear. And the force of it struck me because I hadn't realized it up to that point. And this was a while back that I came across this.
Preston, I am so glad you are talking about this. And all the surveys we've done and talking to people that are really honest, this becomes the touch point. And people don't talk about it. They talk about techniques. They talk about this stuff. But continue. I'm really happy you're talking about it.
Well, I don't have time to go through a whole exposition of my wholesaling, you know, course or anything like that. But I am going to give you know, we are going to do the tips and tricks and techniques. I do have some for you. So, but I just want to keep hitting this home. I not only have a passion to teach people about, you know, these real estate techniques, which are very helpful. You need them. However, they are secondary. Okay? I want to empower you guys to actually be able to use these things in the first freaking place. Okay, you know, knowing them and doing them are two totally different things. There's plenty of people out there educated beyond their abilities. Okay, you know, one of the first deals that I did, this is before I found my mentor. By the way, I don't have time to talk about this, but, you know, I beat fear via a mentor. And, you know, having a mentor, I coach people in real estate. I'm not here to sell coaching. I don't even, you know, I have more students than I even care to have. Find yourself a coach, find yourself a mentor, make yourself useful to them. If you don't have the money, okay, make yourself useful to them. I tell you what, I was just at Starbucks the other day, where I work, you know, if I do work, it's usually there. And some kid comes up to me, and listen to the beauty of this, Mike, you're going to love this, because I didn't realize what he did till a couple days afterwards. He comes up to me and he goes, oh man, are you Preston Ealy? And I go, yeah. He goes, oh man, I mean, he acted like I was Michael Jackson. He goes, man, he had a copy of a book. It wasn't my book, but it was, I think it was Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow. She's like, man, will you just autograph my book? And I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. And I autographed it. And of course I was flattered. It's like the second autograph I've given out ever. And he goes on to say how he's, you know, heard my seminars, you know, this, that, the other. And he's like, listen, man, would you be willing to just like help me out? He goes, I know computers. I'd be willing to fix your computers and, you know, this, that, the other. And at first I was like, well, you know, drop me an email, you know, whatever. I mean, I get requests to help people out for free all the time. There's only so much I can do. However, it just so happened that the next day something happened to my computer and I needed help with it, okay? I emailed him, rather, and said, listen, it just so happened, this fate would have it. You know, I need some help. You know, I'd be willing to help you out in exchange for you, blah, blah, blah. And if he decides to take me up on that, heck, he'll get free mentoring. Everybody else pays $5,000 for it. So that's just an example. And what I realized, Mike, that kid didn't want my autograph. He was setting me up. At least that's what I think. My point is there's ways to entreat the favor of people you need help from. And make no doubt about it, you cannot do this on your own. I've seen people try to do, you know, stuff like this on their own, and it just doesn't work. You know, we're the human race, like it or not, we're created for relationships, and you know, you won't grow, you know, past the relationships that you're able to develop. So anyways, one of my first deals, I'm sitting in this lady's house trying to close the deal. I'm writing out a check, you know, I have a hunch that this is a good deal. But I'm not sure. You know, this is very early on. I'm still trying to figure the game out. The way I computed comps was to drive around the neighborhood and ask the neighbors what the house is worth. I'm petrified, okay? My hand is shaking like Shakira's hips and whatever, wherever. I'm as pale as Tom Cruise in an Interview with a Vampire. I'm like about to pass out. I'm about to lose consciousness, okay? And these are the things that are going on in my mind. What if this is a bad deal? What if I lose my deposit? What if I have to back out and lose my money? I didn't have any money back then. What if I did something wrong in the contract? What if I get sued for performance? You know, what if I get stuck with this thing and it ruins my life? Okay. Well, luckily for me, I had spent the past 8 years very intense self-improvement program that I had rigorously put myself through. Okay. And so I had become the caliber of person that could feel all that fear and do it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nice.
It just as a side note, and I'm going to mention a lot of books that you guys need to get. Make sure and get these things. Reading is everything. I would not be sitting here talking to you if I hadn't read the books that I'd read. The book's actually called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyways. I think it's by Susan Jeffers, I think. Really good book. My point is this. Maybe you haven't done that 8-year self-improvement program. Maybe you are not, I mean, most of, I'm sure a lot of you are. I'm sure there's people on this line that are, you know, way better at me than anything I do. But maybe some people aren't, okay? Maybe you're going to feel that fear, and it's going to cause you to not do the deal and not make any money and hesitate, okay? And my whole point is, if you'll do a few things that I tell you to do with my system, the way that I do business, if I would have known then what I know now, my hand would not have been shaking like Shakira's hips and whenever, wherever. Okay, I would have been perfectly calm with nothing to fear, because the way that I do business and the way that all my students do business, it's almost impossible. First of all, I've never lost a dime in real estate. Okay, I do own one lot here in South Tampa that will end up costing me a lot of money, but that's a different story.
Haven't lost it yet.
As far as flipping contracts, I've never been sued. I've never. I did lose one deposit, but that was before I ironed out, you know, my whole system, okay, just being honest. But pretty much I have not lost a dang dime, and you shouldn't have to either. Let me just rewind here for a minute, tell you a little bit about me. I'm sure a lot of you already know, a lot of you have my book that I recently released. But for those of you that don't, I graduated from UHK, University of Hard Knocks, totally self-made. Like I said, parents were, you know, kind of broke, living week to week. And I have come to believe that flipping houses is the quickest and fastest and easiest way to financial freedom available. Now, yes, there are exceptions, of course, and yes, certain people are gifted for certain things, and there are other, you know, plenty of other avenues, but for the average Joe, okay, I'm lumping myself in with that category, and I'll prove to you that if I can do it, you can do it. In a minute, I'm going to prove it to you. You know, this is just an excellent opportunity. All it takes is, you know, a little bit of intelligence and a lot of drive and determination. That's the biggest determining factor. Are you the type of person that won't quit? Okay? You know, I'm also well aware that a big piece of the puzzle for you guys is actually believing that you can do this, okay? If you don't believe you can do it, it's just not going to happen, which is why I'd like to tell you that I was pretty much, you know, a complete, total dork, loser growing up, all right? Hung out with all the wrong people, barely graduated high school, hated school. I don't even know if I graduated. I mean, I didn't actually get the paper that I did or anything. I'm just guessing I did. But if I didn't, I really could care less. I am a big fan of self-education, and you guys all should too. Never went to college. The University of Hard Knocks was actually made up. I worked in restaurants until I was 20. I worked in Bubbly's Barbecue. Free, you know, free ribs. It was wonderful. It was luxurious. I lucked into working for a financial brokerage for 10 years. And I got the job because I happened to know somebody that worked there. I got a job making minimum wage and just worked my way up and found that I was reasonably good at sales. And I did very well. I was one of the top salespeople. However, I found myself squarely in, locked behind the bars, like Paris Hilton behind bars in the living hell that is commonly referred to as the rat race. And if you guys happen to find yourself in that place, be of good cheer. You do not have to stay there. As a matter of fact, I was almost going to make my nickname the Pied Piper, okay, leading all the rats out of the city. But Mike, I remembered that he let them off a cliff.
No, don't do that.
So scratch that. We leave that analogy out. But I am here to help, and I'm living proof that that there's a different way to live. And you really don't know how constricting it is to live, you know, quote unquote rat race until you're out of it and you look back. And man, there's just no comparison. There's just really no comparison. Hmm. This is what my life looked like back then, and you can tell me if any of this sounded familiar. Chit chat at the water cooler. This is 10 years I was at this place, okay? Company meetings that made me want to do a swan dive off my office chair, face first on the ground, and dead up to my eyeballs, living week to week, dreading going to work. And, the most I really looked forward to back then was going to lunch and weekends. I just realized the other day, Mike, I was driving to the health food store to eat lunch there. I had like a piece of organic salmon, shot of wheatgrass, 15 minutes, that was my lunch, and I'm back onto the next project and just loving everything that I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. And I actually had the thought, I'm like, man, you know, back in the day, previous to this newfound freedom, are you still there? Am I still
yeah,
on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, I thought I'd cut out. I remember just in the mornings, just the, you know, talking to people in the office. Hey, where are we going to lunch today? You know, I'd be between 10 and 12. That's almost all we talked about.
Right.
There is a better way to live, you guys. There's more to life than food, alcohol, and TV, okay? It's all about being free to be who you were created to be, to fulfill your purpose here on earth. I guarantee you, whether you believe in God or not, you will one day. And he's going to ask you what the heck you did while you were here, okay? We've all got assignments. We've all got things that we need to be doing. There's people that need your gifts. There's people that are suffering when you could be helping them. So, you know, it's kind of our duty to just become all that we can be in order to help other people. My transition into real estate took 3 years. Okay, so let me just encourage you guys with this. If you've been trying a bunch of different things and they haven't been working, just keep going, okay? Life doesn't like to deny people that won't quit, all right?
Right.
And usually it doesn't, all right? You keep hammering away, and I'm telling you, okay, unless you just got some totally different destiny and you're beating on the wrong door, seek and you will find, all right? 3 years it took me, and I'm not like a dumb guy or anything. I mean, I was out there making offers, mixing it up, talking to people, bought the Carlton Sheets course, the t-shirt, everything, and I had a hard time. I had a hard time making it happen on top of just having a tough time figuring out the game, okay? And by the way, my mission when I started researching real estate was to find out who makes the most money, who's living the type of life that I want to live. Wholesalers make all the money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've already done the research. So you don't have to, my friend. One of the big obstacles that I had was this constant pull back to comfort, okay? I would get out there, I would try to do something new, real estate, and, you know, I was, you know, doing something new is very uncomfortable, okay? And I would constantly be tempted to go back and just focus on my work, you know, in the cubicle. Cubic hell, as I like to call it. And the second I would do that, I would feel so comfortable. It would feel so much better. Like, oh, what was I doing even trying that real estate thing? That was just an illusion, okay? This is how difficult it is to break out of your mold, okay? You guys need to get this book on this topic, which is The Dream Giver, okay? That'll change your life. That one's a little tiny book. You can read it in 2 hours. The mentor made the difference for all of me. It took fear out of the equation. And this was my turning point here, and then we're going to start getting into some of the practical stuff. My turning point was this. I had finally managed to get some rental properties, and the rental properties were killing me, okay? And I had gone through my whole adult life in the cycle of make money, lose money, have money, don't have money, have money, don't have money, live week to week, go a month, okay, live week to week, you know, basically recycling the patterns and the behavior that I had been raised with, okay? First of all, you guys need to get this book. It's called The Secret of the Millionaire Mind. I'm sure a lot of you have already read it, but for those of you who have not read it, I've read it 3 times, and you should try to go to a seminar, everything. It will totally rewire your brain as it pertains to money and rich people. So, anyways, I came home one day, and I had a very nice house, and my electricity was shut off. And I realized that I didn't have one dime to turn it back on. And I had nobody to help me. I had no food for that weekend. Okay? This is God's honest truth. And I really don't remember how I made it through that weekend. I can't remember. But that was my turning point. Okay? I live in Tampa, Florida. It was like 99,000 degrees out. I'm laying on the second floor of my house, staring up at the ceiling. Okay, and keep in mind, this is a vicious circle. I had ended up back at this point consistently, constantly throughout my whole life. And something inside of me just snapped. Not in a, like, psycho-postal way, but it just, you know, something just changed in me. And from that point on, I have never looked back. That has never happened to me again. Okay, it was at that point that I decided, and this is the same point that everybody in this line needs to get to as well, that enough was enough. Things were going to change, and all the forces of hell were not going to stop me. And I was going to beat this thing called money. Just so you know, money is an obstacle for everybody getting born into this world. And it is everybody's job to conquer it. It's not the only thing we're here for, and there's plenty of other things that are important, but money is important as well. Okay, money and the lack thereof is the cause of massive suffering, and it is our job to beat this area, and you need to make your mind up to do it, and come to your own point that I came to there. Where was I here? You know, one day, Mike, they're going to come up with a cure for ADD. I'm going to be right there in line.
You're doing great, man. I'm really enjoying this. These are important stuff, man. This is unbelievable.
This stuff takes a lot of work.
And I went through the exact same thing. We don't got time for my story, but go ahead, man. Believe me.
Well, I would actually be really, really interested to hear it someday, someday over lunch. You know, this takes a lot of effort, which is why being in tune with your ultimate purpose followed by setting goals to achieve that purpose are so very, very, very important. That creates the desire that's necessary to overcome, you know, the very human tendency to do absolutely nothing. Okay? And to that note, there's another book you need to get, and this is one of the books that super turbocharged my real estate career, and that's Keys to Success by Napoleon Hill. Everybody get that book.
Write that one down. Write them all down.
Yeah, there's a chapter in there called Definite Major Purpose. When I had my defining moment there and I realized that enough was enough, and by the way, after that moment, it was just balls to the walls, 6 days a week. I had never worked 6 days a week before, 12-hour days, you know, paying my dues. And I paid my dues for a good year, and then dues paying time was over. Now I'm just getting kind of carried along by destiny. It's pretty nice, actually. But Keys to Success, there's a chapter in there called Definite Major Purpose, and you need to do that exercise. Figure out your definite major purpose, relate it to real estate, even though there may be something more that you're to do someday. At least at this point, you're on this call with me, which I commend you for. Real estate's, you know, probably a part of it. Put real estate in there somewhere and read through that exercise that you did every day until you're rich. That's what I did, okay? Also make your goals and read through those once a day. And then speaking of desire, and then we're going to get strictly into fears that relates to real estate, there's this, you know, desire is very important. When I had that defining moment, my desire was through the roof, okay? Nothing could deny me, and I was never going to stop. You would have to kill me before I didn't reach financial freedom, okay? It's very rare that you meet somebody with this level of desire, but listen to me very carefully. You have to have it. You have to have it. Mm-hmm. All the champions, all the famous people, all the sports people, do you know how hard they work? Do you know how bad they want it? Here's an example of it right here. I've never forgotten about this. It's in my book. If you've already read my book, go to sleep for 3 minutes. I'll wake you up in a minute. I'm watching the UFC, favorite thing to do. I love to fight in a loving way. George St. Pierre was on climbing his way up the ladder to get a belt. Obviously, a belt was his goal. He had just knocked some other schmuck out, and the interviewer came over very nicely and was, you know, put the microphone to his mouth. And before he could even say anything, George St. Pierre rips the microphone out of his hands, jumps over some other dude, falls down on his knees, and with every vein coursing through his body, with every with every ounce of energy and passion that he could muster, he said, "Please, please give me a title shot. I'm begging the people at the UFC, give me a shot at the belt. I want it so bad." And I was just overwhelmed with this guy's level of desire. The guy was champion of the world the very next month. No, not the very next month. The very next time that he fought, they gave him a title shot, and he was the world champion. Okay?
Wow.
That's what it takes. Okay? You got to want it bad. Your level of financial success, listen to me very carefully, will never be 1 centimeter above your level of personal growth, passion, integrity, and competence. Okay? And these are all, thank the Lord, things that you can work on, things that you can develop. I'm constantly developing myself in all these areas. I'm constantly falling and making mistakes. I'm constantly getting back up, keeping going, and then growing, coming back stronger every single time. You need to work on yourself as a person, and then money's just going to come naturally. It's going to come like rain. Check out my website, realfreedominc.com, for an example of that. Read Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. I already told you that. So very quickly, if you can write these as quick as I say them, fantastic. These are the 7 main causes of fear when it comes to real estate, and I'm going to completely destroy them with a Gatling gun. Fear of market conditions. That's, you know, very relative to right now. Fear of competition. Fear of losing your deposit. Fear of litigation. Fear of ending up looking like Carlton Sheets. That is actually, Mike, you laugh, but that's actually a legitimate fear. You know, the real estate industry, you know, besides me and you, it's not a very fashionable thing. You need to come into this thing with a strong sense of fashion ahead of time, okay? So Ron LeGrand and Carlton Sheets and Peter Conte don't get you. Fear of responsibility. Fear of responsibility is the big one.
That's a big one.
Fear of filling out contracts, fear of forest nymphs. Okay, let's go back here. Fear of market conditions. Let me totally just destroy that right now. Okay, Mike, you making money right now?
Absolutely.
I'm making money right now, too. Okay, there. Move on to the next one. No, seriously. I have brand new students. I just had a student today, brand new, young lady in Texas. It brought in a deal, and she found the buyer and made 10 grand. Just that easy. I mean, it took days. Just had another student put a deal over. And by the way, I partner with my students. I'm actually doing these deals with them, so I'm actively involved flipping real estate all over the nation. Somebody called me today arguing that there were no deals to be had in Washington. I just said, give me a break. Go back to sleep. There's just 2 different ways of looking at this. You can look at it and say, oh, it's more difficult to find sellers this year, or you can look at it and, you know, that's the glass half empty, but you can look at it as the glass half full. There's more deals to be had than there has ever been, ever, okay? And guess what? Rich people like to buy property in these markets. This is when rich people buy, okay?
Absolutely.
And all you got to do is get creative to find these people, okay? Right now, we're in the midst of putting webinars together. We've got buyers from all over the nation buying these deals. There's people in California buying deals in Florida. There's people in New York buying deals in Texas. You know, these people are single-family homes. They're just scouring the country looking for these great deals, okay? So just erase that. That's ridiculous. The bottom line is this. If you want to make money wholesaling houses, get started now, and you're going to make money. That's just all there is to it. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. The fear of competition. Let me annihilate that. It's completely ridiculous. you know, when I got started, it was in the hottest market of the earth ever. Okay. You know, you could put a for sale sign outside of a house and it sold in a day. So I could have just thought to myself, well, what do they need me for then? To offer 50, 60 cents on the dollar? You know, what, you know, how could they, why could I, how would I possibly be needed in this market? We're in Florida, people. That we were the hottest state in the country. Okay. Florida real estate was, people all over the world were buying up our, you know, our state. Not only that, there were more I buy houses guys than there had ever been.
Yeah.
Ever. They were just like, everybody was like the cool thing to do or something. I just don't think about that stuff. You know, I believe in a world of abundance, and you need to develop an abundance mentality as opposed to a scarcity mentality. I just went out there, I got busy, and I just found deals all over the place when I didn't even know what I was doing. You know, I would just like call up an attorney I know and say, hey, can I take you to lunch? Yeah, let's meet for lunch. You know, I would ask him what I can do to help him out. At the end, I asked him for a lead. He gave me a lead, and I bought it and flipped it and made 20 grand. That's actually one of the deals Mike was referring to earlier that got me to quit my job. So here's what that tells me, okay? And I'm glad that I went through that because now I really believe it. I already had a hunch beforehand, but now I really believe it. The deals are infinite, okay? The deals are absolutely infinite. There are more deals out there than all the investors in the world can handle, okay? And that's the guy. I'm not just trying to blow smoke. That's really what I believe, okay? And whoever's supposed to be in the real estate game will be in it, and whoever's not won't. And if people who are not supposed to be in it are in it, they're just going to get miserable and quit, and they're not going to do a good job anyways because that's not what they're supposed to be doing, okay? So just don't even think about stuff like that. There's the fear of losing your deposit, and I know I mentioned this in an email, at least to my people, that I was going to tell you guys how I go about controlling all these properties without one dime, not even for a deposit. This is how I do it. I will, first of all, my deposits on my contracts are anywhere from $500 to $1,000. If the seller ever asks, which they never do, you know, where's the deposit, you know, like they want the deposit or something. First of all, if somebody ever requires that you give them a non-refundable deposit, or even if you give the title company a non-refundable deposit, we don't do non-refundable deposits. And let me be more specific. When I'm talking about wholesaling, I'm talking about flipping contracts as opposed to buying property, holding an inventory, and then reselling it at a later date. Okay. Right now, my opinion, the smart thing to do is flip contracts. A lot of inventory in this market, you get stuck with too many properties, making hard money loan payments, you know, could seriously hurt you. So rule number one, don't ever give a check directly to the seller. Don't ever give a check to anybody that's earmarked non-refundable, okay? And what you're going to do is this. First of all, everybody needs to get set up with a title company, all right? And every single title company, this is what I do. I, first of all, present myself as a very important person, which I am. And I've been acting like I'm a very important person since I was broke, okay? And you guys need to develop this ability too to kind of fake it till you make it. You know, have some faith that that you are going to be the biggest wholesaler in your area. I've been acting like I was the biggest wholesaler in my area, you know, wasn't even doing anything. I just came right out of the bat. I got all the cash. I got all the houses. They weren't my houses. They were somebody else's houses. I was flipping for me, but nobody else knew that. Fake it till you make it. I can't tell you enough how much that actually works. I'm like walking proof. So you're going to go to a title company. You say, listen, I do a lot of business. I'd like to move my business over to your establishment, and just have some faith that you're going to get this thing going and you're going to get a lot of business. I'd like you guys to handle my closings. Do you guys accept assignable contracts? Correct. Don't ever ask an open-ended question when you want a closed-ended answer. Okay. Lead them in the way that you want to go. So you're set up with them. They have a rapport with you. Okay. The first deal that comes in, what you're going to do is you're going to take the contract and fax it to the title company and simply tell them, please, this is a new deal. I take that back. First of all, don't fax the contract to the title company until you have the buyer lined up. Every once in a while, these deals fall through. Try to make that happen as least as possible. You know, you can't find the buyer. You know, it ends up being a dud and you thought it was good and these things happen. But try to keep it to a minimum. You're going to tick your title company off as well as the sellers. But don't start any title work that you have to pay money for until you know it's a solid deal. So you find the buyer, you take the contract, you take the assignment contract, forward it to the title company, and say, listen, please, this is a new deal. Please begin the title work, there's two different ways to go about doing this. This is the way I always did it. I always did this. I said, listen, just deduct our deposit from our profits whenever the deal closes. Our last title company did this for us because you know it's just more convenient for me. I do a lot of deals, okay, and for me to continually be sending in $100, $500, $1,000 deposits is a huge pain in the neck for me. I've never had one title company not do it for me. The big national title companies. I've never had one single one say no. They always just said, okay, no problem. And I said, but listen, if any of the buyers ever call in to verify the deposit's there, just do me a favor, put the call on voicemail, call me and let me know that, I'll go ahead and run the deposit over. Okay. Now, if that ever does happen, okay, you are going to need to get a deposit over there. Okay. No way around it. But, you know, if you can't come up with $500, we might be a little premature with this whole thing. However, it can be pulled off, okay? So I've never had any problem with that. I was on a call with JP once, a friend of me and Mike's, and he told me the way that he does it is he keeps a $1,000 deposit at the title company, and it's evergreen for every single deal,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
So for a one-time investment of $1,000, you can go about doing all, or $500, whatever the heck you want to, you know, do your deals with. As a rule of thumb, I like to give people $500 on a deposit, even though it's really not at risk in the first place. But, you know, if I think I need to really impress the seller, you know, let them know I'm serious, I'll make it $1,000. So leave $1,000 at the title company and make it evergreen. Evergreen means it's just good for, it works forever. Every single deal, that $1,000 gets placed for that deal. It holds that deal, but it doesn't actually get put on the HUD for that particular deal. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's two different ways to do it. You'll never, that fear of losing your deposit, totally gone. Move on to the next fear. If anybody has any questions on that, drop me an email. Fear of litigation. Every contract that we that we put together, we have anywhere from a 14-day to sometimes 30-day inspection period. Okay, sellers right now have less options than they've ever had. Okay, so you know we get 30-day inspections pretty regularly. 14 is probably on average. At the price that we're going to be getting a home at, which is about 50 cents on the dollar right now, you know you can find buyers fairly quickly. So 14 days is usually plenty. However, you know I use my gut. You know a lot of this is going to be you getting out there trying some different things. And the longer you stay in this game, the more your decisions get based more on a gut feeling than anything. Sometimes you'll just feel like, you know, man, this, you know, I feel like this is a good deal. I'm going to do it. I feel like this is not a good deal. I don't know why, but I just got a bad feeling about it. You put it away. That stuff will just start to come to you. And I advise you to trust that after a certain point. So we have a 14-day inspection period with right to cancel. Okay. So for the next 14 days, that we get that house, and keep in mind, a lot of times we take these under contract, sight unseen. We're just going off what the seller tells us about the house, which, listen to me, 99 times out of 100 is the understatement of a lifetime.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, if we don't manage to find that buyer in 14 days, we simply fax over a cancellation of contract, which is a form in one of my products. But you can just put together something that says, you know, per our contract, paragraph, whatever, section, whatever, this property did not pass our inspections. Regret to inform you that we need to cancel our contract effective of today. Okay. Now, what I will also do is this: I'll call the seller. I'll always blame it on my mean partner that didn't, you know, pass pass the property for our inspections. And I'm also going to give him another chance to earn our business by dropping the price. Okay. And you're just going to use your brains, whatever you think you need to drop it to in order to bring that buyer in. You drop it. Sometimes I won't even do that, though. I'll just feel like it's a bad deal, and I'll just pass. But irregardless, the fear of litigation, which is, you know, them saying, no, you have to close, or I'm taking you to court, where's the fear? You know, you have your rights to inspect for 14 days. Just make sure you cancel that deal if you can't find a buyer. Now, listen very carefully. You need to not do this very often, which is back out of the deal. However, when you're just getting started, if you've got nobody to mentor you, if you've got somebody to mentor you, you know, great. You'll do a lot less damage to the world. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do, man. To get your business going, if you got to, you know, take 5 houses under contract and not close on any of them, my personal opinion, and this is just me, you know, lots of people couldn't have their opinions too, and that's fine. You know, no big deal. I mean, shoot, I've had retail houses that I've sold through realtors. I had one property last year that I sold through a realtor, Mike, and I had 3 buyers string me along for 6 months, and nobody closed. You know, all the financing fell through and this, that, the other, and I say that just to say that, you know, people not closing on real estate is, like, pretty common, you know.
Right.
You know, just because it's, you know, your particular reason is, you know, not passing inspection and, you know, all these people that strung me along for 6 months is financing. So what? You know, these things happen, you know, so you didn't close. Big deal. But
yeah,
again,
you're basically telling them the reality that I've lived for 20 years. That's exactly what happens.
Okay. All right, good.
We're here to explain that the other side of the fence is not as scary as you think it is. It really isn't.
Right.
The people,
yeah.
You know, the due diligence has been around in the commercial world forever, and people walk away from closing and don't close all
yeah.
the time. You know, it's
yeah.
it's very, very common.
So listen to the force of what I'm telling you, though, you guys. Go out and put some deals under contract. Okay? What reason would there to be to not? What reason would there to be scared? Well, let's keep going here, because we have the fear of filling out contracts. You know, first of all, contracts are a lot easier than, you know, they may seem to somebody who's not familiar with contracts. My personal contract that I've started using, I used to just use a state-approved contract. And, you know, that's a relatively confusing contract in most states. You're going to want to just find somebody to show you how to fill this dang thing out. However, you know, the new contract that I'm using is 1 page long. It's very simple. Anybody can learn how to fill that thing out. I mean, all my students, they get that. They get one little quick sheet to tell them how to fill it out, and they're done. You know, you got to find somebody to just show you how to do this. You just have somebody show you one time, and then you're done. Now, I am going to show you a way as soon as we wrap up here. I have an opportunity I'll be able to actually teach you how to do those contracts. And then you have fear of responsibility, which, you know, when I was working for somebody else, that was a big thing. I didn't think I had it in me to own my own business. And I would always just say, oh, it's just such a hassle. But deep down, I knew that it was how much responsibility was going to be for me to take control of my own life and come out from under the wing of the government, of a company. That's basically what this is all about. It's taking control of your life. It's responsibility. It's personal responsibility. But let me just tell you, for whatever effort it is for me to have to handle, my own, paperwork and contracts and, you know, taxes and this, that, the other, it pays itself back times 1,000. And here's the key to overcoming the fear of responsibility. Once you get out from under the wing of a company, you get on your own, you simply outsource everything you don't like doing. Or you outsource everything that you don't have the knowledge to do. I remember being scared to death of, like, doing my own taxes and making my own paychecks, and I'm like, I don't know anything about that stuff, you know? I'm kind of a simple guy, you know? I don't have an MBA. I don't, like, know any of that stuff. I just got an accountant, and I said, listen, here's what I'm doing. You know, pay me this amount, and, you know, but, I mean, it's so, like, whatever you're scared of, whatever you don't want to have to deal with yourself, you simply enlist the help of somebody else. Mike, how much time do we got?
We got plenty of time. We got about another half an hour.
Okay, cool. Let me just give you an overview of my wholesaling process, okay? I say this all the time, but, you know, I view this as a very simple thing. We are doing nothing more than finding people that really, really want to sell their house, and we're pairing them up with people who really, really want to buy a house. It's just that simple. Okay, getting motivated sellers to call you is child's play. I mean, literally, you know, put 25 bandit signs out around your city, around one specific neighborhood, and a bandit sign is those plastic corrugated signs that you see all over your city probably. Put I Buy Houses in a phone number, and your phone's going to ring, and it's going to be with people wanting to sell you a house. I can't tell you how many houses I bought from bandit signs my first year. Tons. Right away. I mean, I just had a ton of people and their asking prices were like something I would pay, you know? So that's how simple it can be. Now, there's plenty of other things that you can do besides putting out bandit signs, okay? So mission number one, locate motivated sellers, okay? And you'll do that with bandit signs. In my opinion, anybody just getting started out, you've got limited funds for marketing. If you have a lot of money for marketing, by all means, you know, run some commercials. Do it up, you know. I recommend you start small, work your way up. You know, make sure this is definitely something you want to do. All my students, their initial source of deals, or leads, that is, and then, you know, hopefully deals, is always bandit signs. You know, I give them plenty of other stuff to do, but the bandit signs always produces the instantaneous leads. The foundation of your business is going to be networking. Okay, you're going to get some business cards printed up. I Buy Houses, your phone number. I have a card that, you know, that I think is the best in the world. It's in my book. If you ever get a chance to get that, I'm going to show you a way to get it for free tonight, actually. You're just going to hand those business cards out every day. I mean, when I first started, this is literally what I did. I had to pay my dues. Okay, I don't hand out business cards anymore. All right, but I had to when I first started. I realized the importance of networking because it's really your mission is your city, your area, your farm area, whatever you want to call it. I hate to call it a farm area because that's a realtor's word. Is the world needs to know that you buy houses. That's basically it. The world needs to like you in the first place, and then they need to know you buy houses. If you've got those two things, then you're just going to have your phone ringing with leads. And ultimately, that is the goal for every wholesaler. Right now, people call me all the time. I do no marketing right now. I work strictly with all my students, and my students are in charge of marketing. I have people call me almost every day with leads. Okay? Why? Because I've been doing this for a while, and people have come to know that I do what I say I'm going to do, and that I'm reputable, that this is the business that I'm in, and they call me with leads. And that is your goal. You want, Mike, are the best leads that you get not when people call you and say, hey, you know, I heard you buy a house, I got this deal. Those are the best leads.
The best of the best.
Yeah, you want a street team of people out there scouring the, you know, the area, looking for these, you know, vacant homes or whatever it is you're telling them to look for. You want your phone just ringing off the hook. When I, you know, my original mentor, his phone used to ring all day. I'd drive around town with him. His phone used to ring all day long with leads. And I would be like, well, who is that? That was a lead on a house. I'd be like, well, how do you know who you are? How do you get it? You know, I'm trying to pick his brain, learn the business. He said he would always say the same thing. Somebody referred him. I'm like, what? Yeah, right. I thought he was lying to me. I thought he was trying to hide his secret scheme or something. So I didn't, you know, rain on his barge in or anything. He was really just getting referred around. You know, people just knew what he did and they referred stuff to him. That guy, you know, and he currently, you know, makes over $1 million a year doing this very same thing. He does no marketing. So, you want to be networking. From the very first week that I, got my business cards printed up, I handed out a business card. I said, hey, it's somebody I didn't even know. I said, hey, listen, what's your name? Hey, I'm Preston. I just want to let you know that I buy houses. And I was curious if you knew anybody that was, you know, that needed to sell pretty bad. He gave me two addresses. I bought one, sold it, and made $50,000. Okay? Mm-hmm. That was my first week of getting business cards printed up. All right? There's no magic to this. The main thing is just that most people aren't willing to do that. Before I handed him that business card, the thought came into my head as I saw the guy. He was somebody that worked in my office building a security guard, of all people, okay? Something in my head said, go get that guy your car. And I did not want to do it. Okay? Nobody wants to go talk to somebody you don't know. It's not natural. Okay? But a lot of your success is going to come from developing the ability to do the exact opposite of your feelings. Okay? I forced myself to do it. I just said, forget it, I'm going to do it. All right? I mean, it sounds like it's no big deal, but go do it. You know? You'll see. It's awkward. It's just it just goes against almost human nature. I don't know what it is, but there's just this pull to not prospect. I mean, even my last sales job, I just always didn't feel like prospecting, but you just had to plow through it. So you're going to want to do that. Here's a great tip for you. This is tip of the day. You know, Mike's big on online marketing, online lead generation, which I am too. And first of all, there's plenty of companies out there online. Type in Sell House Fast, and you're going to get about 3 pages of people that collect leads and sell them to people like us. So see if any of those things work for you. You can buy them per lead. You can buy per county and get all their leads. Lots of different ways out there that you can have other people do the marketing for you, and you simply buy leads from them. If you got some money to do it, that's great. Do it. I highly recommend it. Mike, do you have any good websites to recommend off the top of your head?
Yeah, I'll give you a real good one. iBuyHouses.com, if it's in your area, grab it up. I've made, I'm probably just shy of $1 million with them. So it's a great opportunity for you. I don't make a dime on it. Just I like to see the guy prosper, and I like to see you prosper.
That's great, man. That's awesome. I'm going to remember that. But listen to this, Mike. You're going to love this. I don't know if I told you this already. One of the things I tell my students to do, and, you know, keep in mind they pay me a lot of money for me to tell them this stuff. You're getting it for free right now. Is to get some ads on all the free online classifieds.
Mm-hmm.
Like Craigslist.com is one. Backpage.com. Everybody write that one down in particular. What's another one? I forget. Not important. You can do some searches. Just look for free online classifieds in Google. A bunch will come up. But anyways, one of my students, who's actually a graduate student now, and now he has his own students, and he's actually doing some processing with all my leads for me. He put an ad on Backpage.com, said, I buy houses, any area, any condition, phone number, you know, the whole spiel. And by the way, the wording that you use for your marketing, in my opinion, Mike may differ with me on this, I don't think it's really that important, you know. Let me just briefly paint the scenario for you. Somebody is in foreclosure. Their pool is black. Their house, their lawn is overgrown. Ask me how I know this. It's happened to me. They're sitting around, and the one consuming thought in their mind is, I got to get rid of this house. And they're like, I got to get rid of this house. And by the way, those are the types of people we're looking for. You're looking for people who are very, very motivated, okay? When I tell people to find leads for me, I say, I don't want to hear anything about the house. I could care less about the house. I don't care. Don't tell me whether it's fixed up, needs work, two bedrooms, three baths. That's interesting. Whatever. I want to know what's going on with the seller, okay? We're not in the house business, all right? I don't hardly ever see houses. Know anything about houses, I don't take pictures of the houses, keep them in a book to look at, nothing. We're just flipping contracts, and we're looking to help motivated sellers. Tell me the situation with the seller. So anyways, this motivated seller now is going to be thinking to himself, well, I got to sell this house. Should I use a realtor? I'll have to pay a commission. It'll be a big hassle. Realtors have funny hair anyways. Then it's gonna take too long to sell it. I gotta get this thing sold now. I know. I'll call one of those I buy houses guys. And from that moment on, it is mission find the very first I buy houses bumper sticker, a thing on a telephone pole, sign, ad, whatever they can find. They're just gonna start thinking, man, where do I see those guys' things all the time? They'll probably start looking for a home investor's billboard or something. Who knows? But a lot of times they'll look in the classifieds, and putting your ad in with all those other guys' classifieds, it may not seem like that makes much sense, but it does work. I don't have time to tell you why, but I would do it. Get an ad in your local paper. The longer it stays in, the higher it climbs up the seniority ladder as far as it goes to the front of the page, and the more calls you get. But get an ad in there if you can afford it. And so they're just going to look for anybody, any I buy houses guys. And it's not going to matter if that ad says daddy buys houses, mommy buys houses, baby buys houses, your mama buys houses. It doesn't matter, okay? They're just buys houses, number, I'm calling. So that was really a lot of explaining to do for just this one small point.
No, it's important because people, you know, think of these people that they've laid the groundwork for you. And the first one that they come to, they're going to call, and that one is going to be yours.
Yes,
they've
exactly.
Preston and I and other people in your city have told these people that this industry exists over, you know, 5 or 6 years. It didn't even exist back then. These signs did not exist. And when you put your sign out, it doesn't matter where it is or what it says, they call it, you got them. And they and the other people spent millions to lay the groundwork for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And my whole point is, when I first got started, I was always trying to think of some, you know, I came from a business background, but my the job that I had, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do something fancy, some fancy marketing, and, you know, I'm going to come up with something different. You know, I buy houses, that's outdated, you know, and my mentor would always tell me the same thing. He'd be like, listen, he said, listen, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. And at first, I just thought he didn't know as much as I did. But I came to find out that he was absolutely right. You know, this is not rocket science. I'm not saying there's not anything new that you're going to come up with, but I just know how necessary it's going to be. You know, as far as marketing goes, anyways. So that being said, Mike, so have you guys on the line?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got this new iPhone, and sometimes it cuts people out. But other than that, awesome phone. I highly recommend everybody get it. It's awesome. So anyways, he runs this ad on Backpage. I buy houses in air condition, blah, blah, blah. If you type in, at least up until last month, this is the case. If you type in sell house fast, Tampa, which sell house fast, just so everybody knows, is the number one search word on the internet for somebody looking for an iBuyHouses guy, a motivated seller, typing something in, and then a city, whatever the city they're in. If you type that in, sell house fast, Tampa, I don't even know if you have to put in Tampa, but I'm pretty sure it's Tampa. His ad came up on the very first page, Mike. His back page ad. And listen, you guys, these internet guys, they pay so much money to come up on that front page.
Right.
I mean, they pay a lot of money. Mike would know more than I would. He's, you know, the king of this stuff.
Yeah, Craigslist and Backpage are very, very well liked by Google and all them.
The Google search engines, they love online classifieds. They love blogs.
Yep.
So, you know, get creative. And, I mean, that guy, he's getting thousands of dollars of marketing exposure for absolutely nothing. So I recommend
you first
getting started. What's that?
Get your message out everywhere. The goal is to get someone to raise their hand and say, I want to sell my house.
Yeah, exactly. And what I tell people is this. There's a lot of different things you can do. Foreclosures, probates. Snapple fun fact, I made all my money with probates. And that was hard for me to start telling people. I mean, Mike, you remember you asked me on that one teleseminar a couple years back, and I wouldn't even tell you. I had somewhat of a scarcity mentality then. It's totally changed since then. Probates are great, and just, I'm coming out with a probate product in the next couple months. You guys are going to love it. Be looking for it. But just as a general overview, probates is basically somebody inherits a house, and people who inherit houses usually don't want them. A lot of times they live in another state, and they need to get rid of it. And they're not very attached to the equity, which makes it an easy process. And I'm all about working smart and not hard. Everything that I teach my students, everything that I tell anybody who's willing to listen is, you know, outsource all the stuff you don't like. You know, I'm all about, I want a nice, peaceful existence. You know, if somebody's giving me a headache, I just find a way to, like, you know, get them out of there, get them away from me. You know, if there's something about my work that I don't like, I quickly, you know, I just did the whole 4-hour work week thing, hired a virtual assistant in India. I'm outsourcing everything. By the way, everybody write that down. Best book I've read in a few years, 4-hour work week. That will open your eyes to where the economy is heading and where you can join the new rich, as he likes to call it. But anyways, when you're first getting started, you know, you got all these different options, abandoned houses, landlord, you know, disgruntled landlords. What you want to do is you just want to try a lot of different things. I don't give one set thing and say, hey, this is how you do it. And I don't do that because I know that everybody's different. And if somebody would have just, when I got started, they would have just sat me down and said, okay, foreclosures is the way to go. And here's how you do it. And if it's not this, just forget it. I would have not done real estate because foreclosures are just not my thing, you know. There are certain things about different lead generation avenues that you're going to like that I may not like. That the next guy, you're just going to have to try some different things and see what works. And as far as doing mailers goes, which that's one big key to the puzzle for a wholesaler. Mike, tell me if I'm wrong, but every major wholesaler, you know, does mailers of some sort.
Mailers,
right?
Is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe one day if they can sell magazines to Publishers Clearinghouse, that one day somebody's going to take this industry and they're going to systematize it, and they're going to mail every empty house and every vacant every house in the United States to buy their house. And so it's coming. It's already in some cities. I know it's in this town pretty much.
Really?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Very interesting. Well, and you know, the nice thing about that, too, because somebody may look at that and say, man, if I can't compete with these big companies. Dude, here's the deal with these things, man. People get these letters, and if they're not in the mood to act right that second, 9 times out of 10, they just throw it away. Some people keep it on file, but it's a lot of these things is just when you happen to catch the guy. That's why direct mail works, okay? One time it's going to work, one time somebody's going to get it and they're in the mood to look at it, another time they're going to get it, so maybe one time they get your piece of mail, they're not in the mood to look at it, they get the big guy's piece of mail who's blasting out the whole world, they move on it, but the next time it could just as easily go your way, okay? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe you can't compete with him and make, $20 million a year, but who cares? Do you really want $20 million a year? Why can't you get a smaller piece of the pie, the $500,000 a year that you're looking for? The $100,000 a year that you're looking for. You have no idea how possible it is for you to go out and, what's today? August? Start now and make $100,000 by the end of the year. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. You have no idea how possible it is. Okay? Really, really possible. Mike, how are we doing on time? I have no clock around me.
We got about 15 minutes. We only got till 9:30 because we got to wrap it up because they didn't schedule any longer, so.
Okay, no problem. Well, I hope that I said at least something that helped you guys out tonight.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this interview. Hopefully, you found it extremely motivating and useful. We'd love to hear your feedback. To contact Preston and for more information on Preston and the highly anticipated launch of FreedomSoft, log on to www.freedomsoft.com right now.